Psalm 100. It says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." In the past, I have shared with you the irreplaceable work of noted theologian Walter Brueggemann. He is a top-notch Old Testament scholar who has been extremely helpful over the past 20 to 30 years in shaping our understanding of the Hebrew Bible, or what we call the Old Testament. For me, though, his most influential work, at least as it pertains to my life and my understanding of Scripture, has been his work with the Psalms. Years ago, Brueggemann wrote a book called The Message of the Psalms, a Theological Commentary. In this groundbreaking book, Brueggemann helped many a reader of the Psalms dig deeper in their embrace of these sacred songs from generations past. The Psalms are a collection of poems or songs written by the faithful of old. They were written for worship. They were shared in worship, and they were sung in worship. The Psalms represent some of the most honest reflections about faith contained within Scripture. They are raw, they are real, and they are relevant. Sometimes when you're reading the Psalms, you just look at the words that are being expressed, and you said, "That's where I'm at," or "Man, I know exactly how that psalmist feels because that's what I'm going through." So they're real. They're raw. They don't mince words. They use real, honest language, and of course they are real, they're relevant and honest. The Psalms, I believe, are better understood not when we take a magnifying glass and a microscope and we begin to dissect these psalms, interpreting and exegeting these psalms. That's all helpful. But I believe they are best understood when we experience the psalms. And that's why you'll find me always encouraging folks to, if you're having difficulty finding words to pray, use the words of the psalms. They have lasted the test of time and throughout history, and billions of people have used these words as launch pads for their own prayer lives, meditation lives, and spiritual lives. So they're best understood when they are experienced and not merely exegeted or interpreted. And so Brueggemann, in his foundational work, helps us to experience the Psalms in a better and deeper way. It is Walter Brueggemann who suggests that a good way to better understand the Psalms is to understand that every psalm can be categorized in one of three categories. They could be either a psalm of orientation, a psalm of disorientation, or a psalm of reorientation or new orientation. And I've shared this with you on numerous occasions in the past. Psalms of orientation, that's basically a way of saying that this is how things are made. This is the way that things should be. Psalms of orientation typically have within them a theme of creation. a theme of Torah or scripture. And so you'll see Psalms that talk about Torah or the law. You'll see Psalms that talks about creation and it talks about the way things are laid out. And that's just how things ought to be. That's how we're oriented. That's how the world should be. An example of a psalm of orientation is Psalm 119, verses 1 through 3, that says, "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways." Do you see how that's just the way life should be? That's the way life is oriented. So those are Psalms of orientation. But then we have this next category called Psalms of Disorientation. And a while ago, I did a whole series on Psalms of Disorientation, if you recall, if you're paying attention. And Psalms of Disorientation, these are the moments when things aren't right. There's something just off. It's off balance. There's injustice, or it almost feels like you're boxing and you get a good punch in the chin and it just gets you disoriented. You ever see a boxer that's just disoriented and once you get hit in that chin, man, the legs get wobbly and the eyes get big and you just don't know where you're at? Well, think of that when you think of a psalm of disorientation, because during psalms of disorientation or moments of disorientation, things are just not right. So here's an example of a psalm of disorientation. This is Psalm 69. "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. I am worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God. Those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs of my head. Many are my enemies without cause. Those who seek to destroy me, I am forced to restore what I did not steal. You, God, know my folly. My guilt is not hidden from you." Did you hear how that's disorient? How many people here have ever felt that way? How many people ever felt like things were just out of whack and you just didn't know what to do? Your legs got wobbly. You felt like fainting. That's a moment or season of disorientation. And then there's this next category called Psalms of New Orientation or Reorientation. And these are moments when that which was wrong is made right. And the response typically is praise with a new song. And so here's an example of a psalm of new orientation, Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him." How many people, after you've had a moment of disorientation or a season of disorientation, maybe it was sickness, or maybe it was family trouble, or maybe it was money problems, and you emerged out of that and you felt good about that. You know, I had a season this year during school this year where I had a class where I was sure that I wasn't going to do well in, and I was expecting to see. And I gotta be honest with you, I'm not like this perfectionist, but hey, I like getting A's. How many people like getting A's? I mean, that's just kind of just part of the deal. And I got my report card, or I looked up to see my grades, expecting to see a C, you know, and kind of in that season of disorientation, and I looked on my record and it was an A. And so for some reason I got out of the disorientation feeling and stood up like, man, oh, look at me. That's a season of reorientation where God has lifted you out of something and your response to that is praise. Over the next several weeks, I want us to spend some time in the season of reorientation. I want us to look at these Psalms of new orientation or reorientation, and I want us to look at those reasons that we get from the psalmist's cues about why we should be giving praise or why we should be people of praise. You know what, I've said this in the past and I'll say it again, that people in the world might outgain us, they may outfame us, they may do things bigger than us, but the one thing that they should not be able to do is outpraise us. And so over the next several weeks, I want to encourage us to look at this season of new orientation or reorientation. We want to live in this season of praise. We don't ignore that for some of us, this is a season of challenge. This is a season of trouble or maybe even grief. We understand that if you take a glance at the world, the world doesn't necessarily give us many reasons to give praise. Yet, one of the functions of leaning into a season of praise is to address the disoriented seasons that some of us find ourselves in. My goal over the next several weeks is to help all of us get our swag back. Or some of you might say this is a way for us to get back in the zone. How many of y'all been watching the NBA basketball championship? How many of y'all into basketball? Now you don't have to be a basketball fan for me to give you this brief synopsis. Golden State Warriors of the West and the Cleveland Cavaliers of the East are playing each other in the NBA Finals. And the first couple of games, Golden State, they gave it to Cleveland. They gave it to Cleveland. Bad. Then they came back to Cleveland, and then Cleveland gave it to Golden State bad. And so Golden State was up two games, and Cleveland was up or got one game back. And so they figured the next game that Cleveland would probably even up this series, and it would be 2-2. But man, that fourth game, Golden State gave it to Cleveland again, and they were up 3-1. You have to go up to 4 again. You have to win 4 games. You know, this is for those of you who don't follow or don't even care. You got to win 4 games. And so they were going back to Golden State up 3-1. Golden State, man, they were sure to win because they got this player by the name of Steph Curry. And this dude named Steph Curry, he can shoot that basketball really good. He can shoot it from close. He can shoot it from way far, but he can make baskets. Some would say that he was in the zone. He is always in the zone because he just hardly ever misses these ridiculous shots. But we go back to Golden State and everyone's like, where's LeBron James, man? It seems like he's disoriented. Something's just not right. He looks wobbly. He looks fuzzy. Something's just not right. But in that fifth game, LeBron James woke up and he got in the zone. He got his, what we like to call, his swag back. He was playing in some swag. And I know some of y'all young people know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all old people are like, what is swag? Swag just means you got it. That just means you got confidence. You're just in that. You just, everything you shoot, you feel like it's going to go in. Every time somebody comes at you with a shot, you feel like you're going to block it or steal it. They can't do anything. And that's where LeBron James was. He got his swag back. And when you're living in swag, when you're living in the zone, it's as if you can do whatever. It's like you're living in new orientation or reorientation. Yeah, last week we were out there playing some basketball. I was playing with some kids and they took a look at this belly and thought I couldn't do a little something. But I remembered that I used to could play that little basketball. I used to could do a little something. And I was out there, we were playing some game called 33 and I made one shot and then I made another shot and then I made another shot. Then all these kids trying to act like they can do something with me, but they couldn't really do nothing with me because I was in the zone. I had some swag. Church, I wonder what it would look like if the church found its swag and lived in the zone. Man, there's nothing no one can tell us. Our praise would be loud, it would be repeated, It will be strong. It will be powerful. It would be contagious when we live in the zone in a similar fashion to being in the zone in the NBA or out in the parking lot. This is what it means to live in a season of new orientation or reorientation. So then when we experience a song of new orientation, you should know that the one who's writing the psalm, that the one who was writing that psalm, for some reason at that moment when they penned those words, they were living in swag. They were living in the zone. And know that the psalm that you are reading, a psalm of new orientation, emanates from a place of swag or being in that zone. So knowing that, listen again to Psalm 100. I read it in the beginning, but now I want you to hear it again, knowing that the person who wrote it was in the zone, that the person who wrote it had some swag. So listen to Psalm 100 one more time. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His, and we are His people, the sheep of the pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now let me share this psalm with you in reverse order. Verse 5, it says, "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever." All praise is in response to God. He initiates it. He is the prime mover. We are reacting to Him. In this regard, He is good and His love is forever. He is faithful for generation to generation. What God was back then, He is right now. God was not at a point good, and now He's not. Right now, church, God is good. Right now, God is faithful. Right now, God is love. And if God is good, faithful, and love, the psalmist prompts us to enter. In verse number 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Come on in. Come close to the Lord. Come into His place. Come into His realm. Come into His living room. Take off your shoes and stay a while. Come into His space and give thanks. And once in, get your mind wrapped around this, verse 3. Know that the Lord is God, and it is He who made us, and we belong to Him. We are not orphans. We are not unassociated. We are not free agents. We have identity. We have meaning. We have purpose. We have blessing. As sheep of His pasture, we know that we are fed and we are cared for and we are protected. And knowing this, we worship. Verse number 2, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Come prepared to sing your hearts out to God. Come prepared to listen to the songs of faith. Come prepared with the whole of you, not a part of you, not a percentage, not the good part. Bring all of you, mind, body, and spirit, to give to God in worship. Don't come into God's presence to be a bump on a log. Worship is active and it takes energy, and what you bring to worship makes a difference. It's one of the reasons why I encourage you, don't save your worship for Sunday. Worship Monday through Saturday. When you come to Sunday, you might be worshiped out if you've been giving God your worship every day of the week. Bring all of your worship to God and don't reserve it just for one day or one moment. And don't get so comfortable and so proper and so sophisticated that you feel the need to restrain yourself. The psalmist prompts the congregation in this way. Verse 1, Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. I know in our faith tradition, we have been prone to turn a suspicious eye toward the shout or most physical outbursts of worship. But know this, you might find yourself being suspicious of many of the Psalms of New Orientation. You will see shout and clap and bow and stand and lift heads and hands. You will see that the worship imagined in the ancient assembly was one that was loud and it was active. Their praise was accompanied with shouts and with claps and with music. Psalm 47:1, clap your hands, all you nations, shout to God with cries of joy. Psalm 95:1, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 98:4, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, burst into jubilant song with music. What we will see during this exploration of the Psalms of Reorientation are psalms that have repeated prompts to move and to worship actively. Church, what about us? What has God done for you to get you in the zone? Now, I've not been silent about the fact that God has been incredibly active over the past month or so during the preparation and execution of our Central Ohio Work Camp. That's a ministry, if you're new, where some of our churches got together and our teenagers and some adults, and we painted houses in the inner city of Columbus and surrounding areas. And this year we painted 12 houses, kids from grades 6 through high school. And I must also add the activity of God in our Wednesday night cookout, where some came from the community. They came out and hung out with us. And that's where I hit a few clutch jump shots. I don't know if some of them community members might not be coming back. I don't know. I'm sorry if I offended anyone with that jump shot. I have to tell you that when I see the activity of God, I come entering his sanctuary of praise. I come acknowledging that he is God and I am not. I come acknowledging that I belong to him and that he is taking care of me, and he's taking care of the things that I thought was in my control. And I had to say, you know what? Not only am I giving this to you, God, I never had it in the first place. I come to worship and I come to give him all that I am. I will not be restrained. In fact, hear me when I say, woo! My God is good, he's faithful, and he's love. And he's going to get my praise. My God is good, he is faithful. I am reoriented toward a position of praise and jubilant celebration. Yes, church is the place where we can come and we can talk about hurts and we can talk about struggles and we can talk about the mess that we're going through. But it's also the place where we can get our shout on. It's a place where we can get our joy on. It's a place where we can get our praise on. And guess what? When we praise loud, when we praise with shouts, when we praise with exuberance, when we praise with joy, there will be people to say, what in the world is going on with those people? And when they ask, what in the world is going on with you? You say, my God is good, my God is faithful, and my God is love. That's what happens when you're in the zone. Church, over the next several weeks, I want to invite you into this season. Engage with me as we look at these psalms of new orientation or reorientation. There are several throughout. I'll give you a list next week of all the psalms of reorientation. Spend some time in the morning when you get up and the sun is just starting to rise, and you go outside and you begin to read these words of these psalmists from long ago who begin with shouts of praise, with an understanding that God is God, that he is good, that he is one who rescues, he is one who redeems, he is one who rewards, he is one who restores. My God is good, and I can't contain myself in praise. C.S. Lewis, a writer that many of you are familiar with and like to read a lot of his writings, said this about the Psalms. He says, you know, the thing about the Psalms that's most informational to me or helpful to me is to know that these Psalms, that the God that's written about in those Psalms is the one that moved David to dance his head off. When David recognized what God was doing in his life and what God was doing in the life of Israel, he danced like crazy. He had people saying, fool, what is wrong with you? He said, I can't contain myself. I can't be restrained because God is that good. I know we're going through some stuff, but one of the reasons why we come together for collective praise is that you bring your stuff and you get a perspective of other people who are living in a spirit of reorientation. And guess what? It's contagious. It's one of the reasons why the Ministry of the Praise Team is what it is. What the Ministry of the Praise Team is trying to do is trying to be contagious with their praise. They're not trying to exalt themselves over anyone else. They're just trying to create a spirit of praise. Over the next several weeks, join me as we look at these Psalms. And may we all be reoriented toward a new season of praise. Is that all right, church? Am I out of my mind here? Am I saying too much? Did I say too little? It's time for us to get our swag back. Time for us to get in the zone. This praise team, come forward. We want to offer this time for anyone in the body. If there's something that we can do for you, praying for you, touching you, sharing with you, if there's something you're struggling with, maybe right now you are in a season of disorientation. We want to help you come into contact with the God of all nations, the God who is ready to do something new in your life and to give you a reason to sing a new song. So we will gather around you. We will pray with you. Perhaps you want to give your life to Jesus Christ this morning. We are always available to receive your confession that Jesus Christ is Lord and also to baptize you into Jesus Christ. If you just want to share with the body a reason to give praise to God, we also want to invite you to do that as well. So let's stand and let's sing this song.